Hello, welcome to another episode of the Scarlet Nation podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Chris Konish, joined by Bobby Darin. And today we've got some pretty big Rutgers football news. We've got two pieces of news here. First, Ethan Kaliakmanis has been named the starting quarterback for Rutgers for the 2024 season, and that Gavin Wimsett, who was a starter last year, will be entering the transfer portal as the window is set to close. So clarity at the quarterback position and Gavin Wimsett entering the transfer portal, and here to break it down with me is Bobby Darin. And Bobby, this, you know, really is a move that sets the tone heading into the rest of the offseason and heading into training camp, because now Rutgers knows this is our guy. Kaliakmanis is going to be the starter, and, you know, Rutgers sort of has clarity at that end.
And not really a surprise, Chris. I mean, go back to what happened after the bowl game, or it was even before the bowl game when they got Kaliakmanis, or whenever he announced it, late December. So he went out and went in the transfer portal. The kid's got 17 starts in the Big Ten, doesn't entertain any other school, comes right to the place where the OC that he played for before, has familiarity with. You know, he was with Kirk Soraka in Minnesota, and, you know, he didn't visit any other schools, didn't talk to many other schools, seriously, came right to Rutgers. So the plan was, I think, in the beginning for him to come in and be the guy. Now, for, you know, Gavin Wimsett, they couldn't just say, oh, you're the guy. You have to go through spring practice, kind of go through the motions and stuff. But for me, the writing was on the wall when that happened, because you saw the way Gavin finished last season. And I know they go out and able to compete in spring practice, but, you know, you only get 14 practices before a spring game, which, you know, the spring game they don't really put stock into. Gavin Wimsett would have had to really, really set the world ablaze, I think, to keep his spot, because let's understand that this team went out and got a guy right away, a guy who started for the former OC. So I think it was kind of written on the wall before this even happened. Everybody kind of went through the motions in spring practice. And, you know, now Gavin Wimsett is on the move. Wish him best. Really, really nice kid. This didn't really happen until last night. They had a meeting and talked about it. I'm talking about Tuesday night. So we were kind of just as surprised as everybody else. I figured that Greg Schiano would keep the competition open until training camp. This way, you know, if he wants to still start Kaliakmanis, he has Wimsett as a backup, but told him he wasn't going to be the starter and gave Gavin that option. But, you know, they're hitching their wagons to Kaliakmanis. And I think that was the tone that I felt from the end of December.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of signs sort of pointed to Kaliakmanis being a good fit from when he arrived at Rutgers. Of course, you touched on the connection with Kirk Soraka, recruited him as a quarterback out of high school, coached him at Minnesota a little bit before he came over to take the Rutgers job before last season. So there was a longstanding connection and a relationship there. And I think where my mind goes with this, and I think this is where a lot of fans are at now, is, you know, what does this mean for the offense? You know, what does Rutgers' offense look like with Kaliakmanis under center? How does that maybe change, you know, the dynamic a bit compared to where it was last year? I guess, you know, my question for you, Bobby, is where does Rutgers go from here?
Well, I think it's a similar offense. But Ethan had told me, you know, on a couple occasions, and it's not the same offense that he ran in Minnesota. So he's still learning nuances of it. But I think you're just going to see a similar type of offense. He's a better runner than people give him credit for. He's not Gavin Wimsett running the ball. But I think the biggest difference that I see in the two of them, and you saw it in the spring game as well, some of the passes that you expect a quarterback to make, Kaliakmanis makes. Wimsett does sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. Go back to last year. Remember some of those shorter sideline throws that he was really off the mark on? And Kaliakmanis is more consistent in that regard. And I think Rutgers really wants to establish a passing game. And bottom line is, you need accuracy at the position. Gavin brings another element with his legs. Kaliakmanis, yes, will pick up some yards on the ground, but not like Gavin would. I mean, Gavin's a threat, and he changes the way defenses have to play Rutgers as well, because they have to respect the run. You know, with Kaliakmanis, I don't know if they will respect it as much, but that being said, you know, he's the more accurate of the two passers, and Rutgers has just been struggling in the passing game since Greg Schiano's return, since before Greg Schiano's return. It seems like it's almost since the days of Gary Nova. I know there was some, excuse me, there were some times that Chris Laviano found success passing the football. But, you know, it's been a constant struggle in establishing the passing game. And I think, I don't want to speak for the staff, obviously, but it seems to me like he gives them a better chance to be successful in the passing game. And, you know, in spring ball too, Chris, these guys aren't getting hit. You know, they're not under the same fire and duress as they would be during the season. So you really have to be, you know, head and shoulders better than another guy if you're going to take the job or win the job, because you remove that element, you know what I mean? And with Gavin, sometimes he struggled during the game when he's under pressure and you know, and finding guys and whatnot. So the quarterback is there, Rutgers has it, and now it's going to be an interesting one for who they got as the number two, because you have, you know, a Johnny Shepherd who played in one quarter of a blowout game against Wagner, and A.J. Surace, who should be a senior in high school. So, you know, they better hope Calic Menace doesn't go down.
Yeah, that I think is the real, you know, risk here, is that, you know, Rutgers was in a better situation no matter who started, you know, the way things were before, in the sense that, you know, you had two players with Big Ten starting experience that, you know, have, you know, been a bit battle tested. Now you lose that advantage with Wimsett entering the transfer portal. And, you know, that leaves you, again, a redshirt freshman in Johnny Shepherd and a true freshman in A.J. Surace as your other two scholarship quarterbacks. Now Rutgers, in theory at least, could go in and get, you know, another quarterback to sort of round out the depth chart. I don't know if that's necessarily how it's going to work out, but that's, you know, one option. But that does, you know, take away, you know, what would have been an advantage of a deeper quarterback room in that regard. So I think that's a risk, you know, to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and, you know, quarterbacks get injured all the time. And you know, it's you know, you see it happen. So that'll be an interesting one to follow if they can go grab a backup with experience, somebody who can just kind of, you know, steady the ship if Calic Menace goes down. But it's a big vote of confidence that Greg Schiano is putting into Ethan Calic Menace as well. You know, Gavin Wimsett was there. He's a big-time recruit, four-star kid. Tried to, you know, bring him in, brought him in from high school early. You know, the development wasn't what everybody hoped it would be to this time. And I thought it was going to be inevitable that Calic Menace was the starter. But Greg Schiano chose to play his hand this way. I mean, you know, does it work? Would he have been really able to keep Gavin around and had that insurance policy? I mean, you know, we won't know what would have happened if he did stay, because I think if both of them stayed, they would have both played at some point, regardless of how that was divvied up. But you have your starting quarterback, Chris.
Yeah, and I think what's, you know, interesting and I think intriguing for this Rutgers offense now is, you know, you talked about, you know, some of the throws that quarterbacks, you expect them to make. You know, there were times when Gavin wasn't able to do that. Now with a guy that looks to be, you know, more comfortable doing that in Calic Menace, you know, does it become, you know, something that unlocks more potential in this Rutgers offense? Rutgers, you know, did pretty well in the running game with Kyle Manungai as a Big Ten leading rusher, but, you know, the passing game just wasn't able to complement that. So I think the question now becomes, you know, how much does this sort of, you know, raise the potential of this offense having, you know, ideally a more complete, more consistent passing game?
Well, you know, Chris, it really does. You have to look back. Here's how I look at it. Look back to that Iowa game last year. Rutgers is in that game. I think it's, you know, 3-0 or whatever till the third quarter, late in the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and they get rolled at the end. But the offense could do nothing. And they're running the ball on 3rd and 7 in Iowa territory in the first half. That's told me all I need to know about the confidence they had in the passing game. Now, Rutgers wasn't equipped with the best receivers in the Big Ten, but I mean, you show me one OC that wants to run the ball on 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 11, whatever it was, against a team like that when they have limited opportunities to score. They don't want to run the ball. They were doing it because they didn't have confidence and they were playing a defensive game. So that you just saw a lack of confidence in the passing game last year. And now how does it change? You know, they want to open stuff up. They're going to be able to open stuff up. I don't know. Will it be successful? That remains to be seen. But it definitely is going to put more emphasis on the passing game. And I think, you know, essentially they'd seen enough of Gavin in last season. I'm not speaking for them, but this is the way it seems. And I think fans were that way. And, you know, I was even very high on him coming out of last season. You know, I thought maybe he turned a corner, saw some glimpses in the spring and the summer, but it never quite clicked. And there was never that game where you said, all right, here's this coming of age and this guy's gonna be the next guy. So for a staff to be running on those third and sevens and third and 12s, I mean, it was, again, another clear sign that the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, and I think one other thing to get back to your point about, you know, the running threat, you know, Gavin Wimsett, he really got into his own as a rusher, you know, in terms of, you know, productivity, yards per carry and so on this season. I guess my other question with Kalei Akmaas becomes, you know, do you see him sort of, you know, break out in that regard now that he's back with Kirk Ciaraca? Because, you know, that's something that Gavin Wimsett was able to take a leap in. And Kalei Akmaas coming out of high school was a guy that can run, right? He's not like your, you know, typical pocket passer. Like, he's capable of running. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how much of that element translates over now that he's back with Ciaraca and has, you know, some more seasoning under his belt.
Yeah, he will. I think he will pick up some yards on the ground. Again, doesn't have the physical athletic ability that a Gavin Wimsett has, but he's no slouch. You know, this is a 4-star kid coming out of high school as well, Chris. So he can pick up some yards, and in this offense, he's going to have to, and there will be opportunities for him to run the ball, tuck it and run. Again, he's going to have to protect himself, though, and you know, learn how to get out of way of contact and not take unnecessary risks, because right now there's really no experience behind him. But I think they will let him get out and run. I think depending upon how they feel about the backup situation going into the season, if there is no one, you know, if they don't bring in a transfer or they're not, you know, 100% confident putting one of them other guys out there, then, you know, I think they might pull back a little bit on the running, because it's more of a chance to get hurt. And Greg Schiano said it in his post-game press conference after the spring game, that they tried to air it out during the spring game because they didn't want to get any injuries, because when you run the ball, you know, you're prone to get a lot more injuries than you are when you chuck it up. So, you know, I think they'll run him in spots, but I don't think they'll be as open to running him as much as they did with Gavin Wimsett.
And I'd also say the benefit now, you've got Kyle Manungai coming back, you've got Sam Brown coming back, and, you know, some promising rushers even behind them. You know, you've got the talent in the running back room where maybe you don't necessarily need to have to lean on the quarterbacks to run the ball that much. And I think that'll also help, just, you know, when you're breaking in a new quarterback, one thing that'll help for Rutgers is to have a consistent, you know, effective running game. And I think Rutgers has that with those two. And I think that's going to be a big benefit for this offense as they look to hit the ground running this fall.
Yeah, and you know, they like to run the ball. They're going to run the ball. But in order to be successful, you have to play complementary football. And that means you have to establish a passing game. And I know fans are starved to see a better passing game. And it became frustrating to watch at times. And, you know, some passes that, you know, in the staff's defense, and some of the passes that Gavin would miss last year are not passes you should be missing on as a second-year starter with his, you know, pedigree, with his, you know, talent, with his everything. For whatever reason, he just wasn't on the mark, and I've heard it was mechanical issues, and you know, that could be fixed with time, but, you know, there was some skepticism there as well. So you know, I wish him the best of luck. Great kid to deal with, a nice family. You know, he embraced everything at Rutgers. He represented the program, the university, well. So I wish him nothing but the success, best success moving forward wherever he lands.
Yeah, for sure. Gavin Wimsett, great kid to talk to in the media room and the scrum. Just, you know, really, you know, really positive, really, really good person to talk to. So we wish him all the best as he moves forward. But you know, that'll do it for us here on the Scarlet Nation podcast. Ethan Kalei Akmaas, now your starting quarterback heading into the 2024 Rutgers season. Rutgers looking to improve on a 7-6 finish in 2023, and a lot of stuff coming up in the pipeline. So you want to stick with us here at Scarlet Nation. It's still No Work Wednesday, by the way, so we've got more content coming there as well. Of course, the latest in Rutgers football, basketball, and recruiting You can also interact with us over at the VIP message boards if you're a VIP member. So stick with us. And this has been the Scarlet Nation podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. For Bobby Darin, I'm Chris Acona saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.